thank you, Lord, for giving blessing through what we ask you, Lord, to be with us through this difficult time, Father. Be with us in the decisions we make, dear Lord, and just help us to keep everything in perspective, Father, to keep our staff and our kids' safety at heart, dear Lord, and be with us in the difficult times, and just give us a thick skin that we can allow us, Father, to make the best decision, the right decision, and to handle a fallout wherever it may be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag, I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
All right. So, what time did you have us starting?
Good things. 5:36.
Thank you.
5:36. Good things. My good thing is, thank you, Dan, for being able to have a strong, clear voice in prayer, and I think I needed that, so. And for being able to pick up last minute like that. So, thanks.
So, good thing we released our 33-page, I'll say that again, instructional plan today. So, just kudos to Tammy and your team.
A lot of people.
And the safety protocols will go out tonight, God willing. Translation is what's holding us back a little bit, so that's only a 20-page document.
I don't know if it's good. I think so. I've heard from a couple of people that have started back at the schools and have said it's going really well. One I heard from at the high school said there were quite a few people that did want to sit in a separate room. So I think kudos to even having, I wouldn't have even thought to do that for the convocation, to watch the convocation, I guess.
Yeah, and to even go through their training.
Oh, good.
They're in today, and so they've got it set up where they're in the library. There's probably 8 to 10 people that don't feel comfortable being in large groups, and she's got a virtual setup, so they're participating synchronously with the other people. So
that's fantastic.
And it's going really
well. Yeah, so no, that's fantastic.
Principals have been really empathetic and accommodating.
Everybody that I've talked to have started back has said it's great and it's going well. Kudos for all those accommodations. Good thing. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. That makes me feel good.
Yeah, no, I mean, I have really heard, and I see a lot of posts too. You know, I think I told y'all last time, Shelley posts, and she, every day, it's another really encouraging comment about all that's going on. And I think at every campus that I've talked to people, they're thrilled. I did talk to Darla yesterday, and she's just like, she wants all the furniture and everything to be so, she's so amazing. Like, she's just having heartburn because not everything's together, but I reminded her, kids have a place to sit, and all is good, and sometimes you have to do priority next. So, but yeah, all really good things, very positive comments.
Guys? Good, all right. So, no audience this evening that I can see, unless they're hidden behind some books. And, all right, I'm just going to go through it. Information items, discussion to rescind action taken on previous regular meeting, item 10G, consider policy update of PE local. So
that's basically just to discuss going back to 7
to
p.m.
To 7 p.m.
In favor of going back to 7 p.m.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that.
I'll just share. It totally escaped me. I think I was the one who read the minutes for that, and I don't know for sure, but I didn't look at it. But it totally escaped me because that's a big deal to me. Because if we start at 5, I don't know that, you know, if we start at 6 in normal time, but we have a workshop prior.
Yeah.
So you know, I don't want to, and I don't want it to be an inconvenience for any staff. That's the only thing. Was it mainly for that, for this? You know, it was just brought up.
Yeah, I mean, so I think the one thing that Adam said was his understanding, the reason we always had board meetings at 7 was because Rex couldn't make it prior. So I don't think, no, we don't have a problem with it internally.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's been awesome. At 7.
It's awesome.
Yeah. For even when Rex wasn't even on the board, I think it's always.
I'll just put it right, it slipped through the cracks for me. I totally miss it because I would have had something to say about that.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I think because it was in consent agenda, and typically, yeah, same thing. I did know it was happening, and I can go, now that I work from home, it's not a big deal to me, but I think for the community, everybody's accustomed to third Monday at 7 p.m., and, you know, so.
Yeah, I just thought maybe staff, you know, it's a little shorter time, and maybe we'd finish earlier.
I'll be honest with you, it works. This staff member has, if it's at 7, I have the opportunity to run home and feed real quick or something. Or run home and grab supper, but
yeah, totally.
If you start at 6, that's just a long day.
I mean, I missed weigh-in last week. I had to get them there early today. I mean, you don't realize it, but it is.
Well, and we have quite a few that start earlier, an hour earlier than that, or half an hour earlier than that. I think that puts that just a little early, like today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Any other discussion with that? Okay. Board operating procedures change regarding agenda items.
Do we need to, if you're rescinding?
No, this is just discussion.
This is just discussion.
Yes. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
B just has to do with the change of the board operating procedures from 4 people bringing an agenda to 2 people.
After,
suggested by Pete Tansby.
So right now it's 1.
Four.
No.
Bring it a second time.
Yeah.
Oh, to bring it a second time.
Yeah.
Within a year, there's that weird call. One can put it on the agenda.
Yes.
This is to bring.
Oh, I gotcha.
Like put it back, rescinding.
Yeah.
After you had left,
he
was very concerned that we had the 4 on it.
Okay, so 1 to bring it, 2 to bring it back.
Right,
I gotcha.
Instead
that's
of 4.
Good, good, good.
And Katie, while we were there, she looked it up really quickly, and then she sent us the link.
Good.
So
good, that's good to know. You know, and speaking of board operating procedures, I want to say this in a polite way, so I'm thinking of how to word it. Well, I think that before you are an officer of the board, really you should attend those trainings. I think that it's difficult, and that's not against anybody, but we've gone back and forth and things have changed, and it wouldn't have happened if there were a requirement that before you're an officer, period, whether you're secretary or what, that you have attended one of those trainings, either during SLI or at Region 4, wherever. I mean, I think it's good to know because we really had ourselves in a little bit of a pickle having a hybrid of those two methods. I mean, we could have gotten ourselves in some trouble.
We have to do that ourselves.
Well, we could put it in our board operate.
But we could put it in the board operate because right now there's nothing that somebody honestly could get elected in November, and in that very meeting, they could be elected as board president or any officer position. And not having that training, it can put you in a little bit of a position.
Don't we? I mean, as part of that tier 1 and tier 2 or whatever, the training, that's part of.
I don't think that
of,
is.
I don't know. It covers it. Maybe touch
and not the parliamentary procedure. You do have to do the tier 1, but that's not, that has nothing to do with being an officer, though. That's just to be a board member.
I guess
to a super board meeting.
And nothing like that? Okay. I guess that was just all kind of is wadded together in my head.
So I don't know how to word that, but if it, you know, for discussion, you know, we're having the discussion tonight, but maybe for that next, when we do make these changes, if we could. We typically do. We review them and make changes and so forth. But again, we could very easily in November have, which I don't think.
Yeah.
I think it's a good idea.
November to have that discussion first.
Already, I mean, I had the exact same thoughts after this. Cause,
yeah.
And I would even specify, I would go all the way to say you need to go to the TASB. Because I would like to then we all have the same language. We all know that we kind of had the same induction.
Yeah.
Because if you could just call it a parliamentary procedure, well, you might.
It could be anything. Yeah. No, I agree. The TASB provided training. It really is invaluable, and I hope y'all got something out of it last week. And I'm sorry I had to leave early, but I've actually attended it twice, three times now. So.
I think you can mention it, maybe doing it for any new board member.
I mean, I think it is a good idea to do that for any new board member. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was good for me and Katie to go through that.
Typically you do it at SLI. Yeah. It's part of the new board member, and most new board members do go and they get it, but there's nothing that says they have to. And then you have an officer, and again, please know there's nothing.
Something as part of your tier one or training this.
Yeah.
Would we have to put, since this discussion, I don't know, I guess.
Oh, I think we're just discussing it.
No.
We have to before anything's voted on.
And make it an official discussion, an agenda item.
I think that if we could have it as an agenda item for the next, and I would like to go ahead and do it because we do have an election. You know, we should have done it in December, right? But we didn't, or maybe we did, but this wasn't part of it. But I would like to go ahead and put it as an agenda item. If we're going to be modifying the board operating procedures anyway for the 2-4 thing or 4-2 thing, then I would say let's.
Right, because basically what you're saying is we can't force a board member to go in and train.
No.
Even a tier one. I mean,
yep. Yeah. And you're not going to get
flags on or whatever, but nobody's looking at that. I mean, what we could say in our operating procedures, if you're going to be an officer,
you have to have attended the TASB.
We could probably break the procedure, but then we'd be breaking our own rules at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
I agree.
Yeah.
So my only question is just from our procedural things, would we have to put that specific thing?
We do.
We would have to list that as a discussion item before it's voted on.
It doesn't have to be a discussion item before it goes on the agenda.
She's not talking to be able to vote on
it. To be able to vote on it.
Vote on it, it has to be an agenda item.
Yeah. Okay.
And to change our internal policies, I think we're supposed to review it vote on it.
Okay.
So that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
So an agenda.
That's all
yeah, it
is.
Agenda on the meeting and then the next time.
Yeah.
I mean, so 2 months.
September.
Yeah, we'll do the
review.
And then
in September, we would vote.
Basically, the same process of just changing the bylaw.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Gotcha. Okay.
Procedure.
Is that a simple majority?
Once we get to the agenda, the actual agenda, it should be, yeah. Because it would be, it's like a policy change, right? And so.
Just unloaded it just a little bit ago.
Yeah.
What is it?
It's a parliamentary change.
No.
Oh, with the down and the ladder, the down and up?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's only this one.
Yeah, but that's kind of weird. Like in the Bible, it's changed. It's not like an arm.
It's just people.
Okay.
Well, it's kind of makes sense. Katie, you got all that?
Got it.
All right.
Vote in September. Okay. All right. So item 8, the consent agenda item. Dr. Burke, you have something to share with us on that?
Yes. So, Mr. DeBrock, yes. This was put in your packet. So one of the things we wanted to address was the dress code mask issue. So we did put...
Oh, yeah.
Can you go down to the...
I don't even know why this is in consent agenda.
Because
consent agenda is when you're grouping everything up, right? If you're voting on it, it shouldn't even. So we can talk about that later. Because last time, it's same thing.
I have asked about it, though. And I was told that's how it should be done for when it's something that it's one item off. They said to still list it like that.
You can pull the consent.
But we can
always move.
Do it however you want.
Yeah, I just, again, because like consent agenda is like you're trying to, it's typical things like your meeting minutes and so forth, and you group them together and you make one vote. But if you're voting on them separate like this, then they're action items.
She's looking forward to the next thing.
But you're not.
This is an actual action item.
Anyway, keep going. I just, last time I noticed that too, and I was like, wait.
So I'm just looking for that example language. It should be in your packet. The actual.
And I don't have my packet, so can you? Sorry. Thank you.
Finally,
I apologize because I left in a hurry and didn't even grab my laptop.
The actual,
there it is.
All of the board.
There you go.
Okay, so we just see that attendance during remote instruction. For us to be able to measure that, Tammy's going to talk a little bit more if there's questions about asynchronous and synchronous. So we just have to show daily progress in Canvas, daily progress via teacher-student interactions, or way to turn into silence in the teacher. They've gone back and forth a little bit about engagement just needs to be done once a day, so that's why the daily progress is. We just need to put it in there to reflect that's how that's going to be measured.
So what constitutes daily progress, just out of curiosity? Did they define it? Is it defined?
We did define it looking
at Canvas. Okay.
So, it could be they're just either working on an assignment, and so the Canvas will timestamp actually. So they'll report and see how long they were in there. So we have defined it. We fleshed all three of those out and what they could possibly look like.
Yeah, and even Classly, which is our single sign-on, has the ability. They've created a new function in there that tracks your daily attendance by your different apps. So when you go to the class link, you sign on, and that's what we're trying to get people to do. You can measure how long they spend in Canvas. You can measure how long they spend in Seesaw. You can, any of the apps that we have in there. But we just needed to put that in there.
Right.
Anything
okay.
else to add there, John?
Okay. Can I restate this just for me? If I'm in synchronous, I need to be online. However, if I do have to miss the synchronous, I have a doctor's appointment, and I have to miss the synchronous, as long as I get in before midnight, I'm still counted as there. That's that last sentence, right? In the same way students who are absent for any may be counted, right? So if I'm synchronous, I need to be on with the teacher at the same time. But if I am absent for whatever reason, as long as I get on and do the asynchronous pieces of it before midnight, I'm still in attendance. Okay.
Correct if I'm wrong, but the majority of our stuff's going to be asynchronous, correct?
High school's only asynchronous, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to do the asynchronous model, but you can index synchronous activities where a teacher might say, hey, tomorrow I need for you guys to hop on at 11 o'clock because I've got some really important news I want talk to you about, but I'll report it. If you can't come on with me, those of you that missed it, you can hop on later at your convenience. So that could count as a student-teacher interaction, right? Even though they really want that to be more academic. So we did flesh out what some samples of what each of those look like so teachers know what we're talking about when we say that.
And so there's that engagement piece and that, okay.
Yeah, so you asked, examples of daily progress may include viewing videos, answering questions, working on assignments, reading an assignment, peer-to-peer interaction, discussions, formative quizzes, a rough draft they're working on, constructed up a response, feedback. So we gave them a lot of what that might look like. And then we fleshed out what is a student-teacher-student interaction, what might that look like, so that teachers have ideas of what that means.
Now, going back to the high school, though, that's going to be like that A-B schedule, right? Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you're on campus. If you chose to be back on campus, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you're going to be on campus. Tuesday, Thursday, you would be doing the asynchronous, and the next week you flip. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you're asynchronous. Tuesday, Thursday,
you're... Well, that's not the exact schedule that they have. They have a schedule that they've mapped out. The high school really is the one who put the information together, the hybrid model, and they did a fantastic job. So this information in here is from that team over there getting together. But yes, they'll be part of 50% of the time they'll be on campus, and 50% of the time they'll be in remote. One group will go 3 days 1 week, and then they go 2 days the next week, and then those groups will be flipped.
And so when they're remote, it could be an asynchronous with the synchronous component, if should the teacher wish. Okay.
There's a lot more flexibility in the asynchronous model than the synchronous model. The synchronous model is pretty restrictive, and kids have to be on there at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
That would be hard to manage, right?
Yeah.
If everybody hop on at 10, well, there's some families that just are not going to be able to do that.
Or sharing, maybe.
But we're still going to fill the synchronous attestation just in case we have to shift.
Yeah, we're filling out everything just in case, like our works.
Yeah.
Cover ourselves.
And high school kids don't get up till 3.
Anyway.
High school kids don't get up till 3 in the afternoon. Anyway. I like that. I love the hybrid piece of it, especially if they're already going to be there for extracurriculars, you know, then they're already
so
there.
They don't transition to that until September 8th.
Yeah.
So they're so all remote, 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 and then that's when they're going to
right.
transition into a hybrid.
That's right. Right, right, right.
That's so cool.
Mm-hmm. I think it's very good.
So the next piece is dress code, and basically just clarifies mask, and as long as the governor's GA-29 order is in effect, we're requiring face masks for fourth grade and up, and we're the health and safety protocols that are being released now, we strongly recommend that every student wears a mask, but we can't require pre-K through three to do that. So this just outlines what's acceptable, what's not. and it says also any student who has a medical condition or disability may be exempt, but we're requiring documentation. So if it's a special ed student, it needs to be an R process. And so Jennifer's on top of that. Masks are not required when you're drinking. Students who do not have a mask, but we provide them. We have enough masks to provide them with the disposable kind. They can bring their own as long as it meets those criteria. And students who refuse to wear a mask will be isolated from others until they can be sent home. And we're not.
So that includes in the classroom. If a student is sitting in the classroom, they have to have a mask on.
That is the question that has continued to come up. And so we're
saying it.
Because I thought it was only if they were like in the transition period or in the restrooms or what have you, like they're passing kids. I thought that while they're in classroom, if you could distance them, that they wouldn't have to
if
be.
If you can distance them, yes, but.
If you can't, then I get that, yeah.
That's confusing to kids.
Yes, what's that?
Having masks all the time.
Be better just to
that's what we're
yes.
glad to do worse. Because when we looked at our capacities, and it's just, it still depends on what happens with our registration. We're still trying to get.
And Dr. Burke, I'm going to tell you, I have a feeling that registration is getting thrown out the water right now. Because, okay, my daughter today called from Plano. Mom, I want to talk to you about this. A through K is going to be one schedule and da-da-da. I don't have any friends A through K, and I don't want to do this now. Well, I'm telling her she has to. She has to at least try it. She bawled, started just hysterical that now she's going to have to go to school. None of her friends are going to be there. They're going to have to wear masks. I think that registration is, you're doing everything you can. Don't get me wrong. Just, I would say, be prepared that it's probably going to get thrown out of the water come tomorrow. You know, but you still have to have baseline. You have to start somewhere, but be aware that. And she's telling me that all of her friends are now saying they just want to do the at-home model, and I'm not allowing her to do that. But, again, I'm just it's just awareness that...
Oh, yeah. We know. Registration's been bigger.
Yeah. But even though where I'm going is whatever they register for is very likely going to if you give them the option to change, you know.
Do they have that?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, they do after 9 weeks, but they have them until the first day to...
I thought the governor said 10 days. They have to give the school 10 days. Like 10 days prior. Prior.
But they're still, I mean, the reality of that is that they're still changing. So, I mean, how are we going to.
How do you do a schedule?
My response was that I want my child to at least try it. And hopefully other parents do that. But
I don't think the registration is what we're talking about. It's the fact that the delivery model and the way the high school is going to a hybrid.
Right,
but
people changing.
I think
that's only until for the first 9 weeks.
It's only for the first 9 weeks. That's what she was saying earlier. Then after that, they can switch again.
Yeah.
So we're gonna be in a state of. I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think to say that what Kevin just said again, it's not the registration per se. It's the fact that whatever people have registered for in the next 10 days or what have you, is likely going to change. So. Sadly, because all that work's been done to get them registered, but I think a lot of these kids, now that they're understanding what it looks like, are going to change. If parents allow, like I said, I'm not allowing my child to change, but you know, it's really going to be dependent.
So how is
they may shift from that hybrid model into
the full
normal model after the first 9 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
We're just in that transition period.
Mm-hmm.
There are no easy answers.
Well, that's exactly what I told Honor. Inspect and adapt. At least try it and see how it goes.
So, that was about the masks. I don't know where we got off on that. But
we're now grading.
Grading, so that's pretty simple. And then schools may also be closed in the event of community-wide health condition, if at any time during the school year COVID-19 cases confirmed on the school campus, the school board has the ability or authority to close the campus for up to 5 days. That was new TEA guidance.
So, of course, the school board
has the ability to close the campus for up to 5 days to sanitize the campus. That's direct new guidance from TEA. So we had to put that in there. Of course, I don't think you guys would uniformly do that without.
So.
What's the threshold that we?
Is it one or is it 20? And then what happens 3 weeks later if it's another 20? Do you close again for 5 days? Is that even permissible? I mean. I'm sorry, Dr. Burke. I'm going to start attending these meetings. First off, I'm going to wear my shirt that says Dr. Burke, President Dr. Burke's Fan Club, and then I'm going to bring a bottle of red wine to every meeting because I know it's got to be tough.
Okay, well, can you bring a couple?
Right.
Go ahead. Yeah,
Jason,
please do.
We looked at a tool this morning, and thank you, Kevin. We're purchasing it. That students will, or parents will, log in to screen their students. That will give us every day a report of what students have been screened. Any student that shows positive will show separately, separated out by campus. It will give us the date that their symptoms first appeared, the date that they can return from quarantine. I'm very excited about what that's going to do for us.
And it'll allow us to track.
It's a fantastic idea.
It'll be able to track by campus that also. So if we see a large uptick in one campus, that might be an indicator that we need to consider other options.
I wish I had suggested that we ask kids if they've been. Anyway. But you guys, parents are being screening, that are screening them, and are, well.
We cannot ask the question of students.
We can't ask the
parents have to answer the screening questions.
And the questions are asking what? They're asking them, have you tested positive?
Have you tested positive? Have you been exposed?
Yes. Yeah.
So they're only yes or no.
Yeah.
So that happens how often?
We're starting off weekly.
Oh, like the parents log in once a week?
They log in on Sunday. Okay. Hopefully they'll log in on Sunday. We'll have reports Monday morning.
No, they're not going to be required to do it, but it's going to be out there. I mean, it would be great to have them required.
If they don't do it, the kids don't come on fields.
Oh.
Yeah, we can't.
Oh.
The class.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. Who's going to be checking all that? The student again?
Well,
it's going to be a booger at first. It's going to take a lot of.
I just think.
They'll have to be an administrator or somebody at every entrance. Who's got a list?
We're working through that.
I think once we get a few sent home.
And Barry said they're doing it at
the figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Just think how.
That's why. That's what's helpful about staggering it in.
Mm-hmm.
Is that we're only going to have to deal with pre-KK and one that are on site. And then we mm-hmm. practice that
yeah.
and get that done. Parents have time to practice it. Then we bring in second, mm-hmm. third. That's where our staggered schedule is going to benefit. If we had to do this all at once, it'd be.
Well, I'm just thinking, there's nobody on campus I can think of anywhere that is not absolutely up to here already with everything. So, you know, adding one more thing on top of that really is difficult.
And that's why we looked at this new system, because what we had started off with was a Google document, and that was going to take hundreds of man hours to get through.
And not HIPAA compliant.
Who is? I assume this is a brand new. Somebody just created this app.
No, it's Frontline. It's Frontline. We already use it for a lot of different things already. It's just a new component of their system.
Awesome.
Wow.
Which they're trying to grow into this student and business management data management system.
Ponytail just broke.
And they're all out there.
Ponytail just broke.
Themes.
Just sitting here.
Well, does anything like how Frontline works?
So far, everything we've had from is decent, but we don't have it for some HR side of things. Is what we use that for. Skyward is just a big piece of crap that you have more stuff than.
I think every app, there's going to be hurdles and.
The new platforms.
Yeah.
If we had the old product, we'd be here.
Yeah.
No on-site screen to add to them. No, that's.
on-site screening? Like, would we take their temperature when they walked in?
Like Dan said, like at work, right?
So when the health and safety protocols that were just released, they are in your, all parents and everybody should have gotten them, they got them. We did put in there that screening processes, including temperature checks, may be used upon arrival on campus. So we left ourselves some room. We have some time to figure this out. That's what we're spending the next week, all that.
It's DEA, right?
It's just a, it's just a law.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they don't recommend taking temperatures.
No, I have to question there. Thanks for covering
it. Yeah, I think it's...
says if you've been exposed to somebody. Because there's so many asymptomatics.
Yeah, right. We're going to do our level best to have people screen. There's got to be some personal responsibility in that. And then we're going to have to deal with it when it happens.
I think it's fantastic.
And I know after holidays, that was like after Thanksgiving, would be one time for families to get together and then expect something to kind of happen around that time. And I mean, you can't really predict that, I guess. But.
Well, you know what UT is doing, and I don't know if it's something we end up kind of getting inspect and adapt, but UT, when they leave for the Thanksgiving holiday, they're not coming back until they will continue, but it will be remote. And then the spring session semester is when they'll come back on campus. And I don't know if there's other colleges doing that.
Test security and all that stuff. Because that's one of the questions, and I'm sort of getting off topic, but, you know, for remote versus on campus, I mean, how do you keep the integrity of taking a test when you can Google all the answers and you're at home versus, but the hybrid, I guess you could have them take the tests at school. And then, because your GPA is dependent upon whether or not you, you know, so those comparisons, those are all coming up across the state. Mm-hmm. So I know it's not just us or any school in.
Yeah, that's another consideration.
Sorry,
for these for parents who are now considering. You know, again, like my child had that request. You know, is that going to give other kids an advantage that are working remote? And right now, when you're concerned about GPA, that's, you know, and you're chasing a GPA, that's important.
Yep.
I mean, I'm sitting there thinking, I don't want my child not to have that advantage, you know, but I want her in school, so. But I don't want her cheating either, so, you know.
Okay. Anything else?
That's all.
There should be something on the student code of conduct.
It's a separate.
So we have those two things together. So the student code of conduct, we just added one.
I can read it right here.
We added one piece.
It's right here.
So coughing, sneezing, or spitting on others or acting like it may be considered an assault. Doesn't say it will be, but says it may be. We want to give ourselves that authority to do something disciplinary so that...
If it's intentional.
Yes.
Intentional. Like,
I mean, it's a discretionary DA thing, which is... That's why it's in code of conduct. This is something that will require a thorough investigation before you pull the trigger, put a kid in DA big for it.
Why wouldn't you just send them home?
Well, there has to be a, I mean, like, if people are doing these intentional, like, you're going to have to see if this was an intentional act. And,
Mark, I'm just wondering if you should add the word intentional, you know, something, because...
Intentionally coughing, sneezing.
Yeah, intentionally, you know, creating a panic where one doesn't exist, right?
I mean, we've had parents ask this in our Facebook Lives. I mean, it's a serious concern.
Yeah. No, I think, yeah.
Especially by the staff. It's a serious concern.
The masks should help.
It should, but you can still do this. And, you
know, I know, but that comes to the...
Right, but we've got the...
Right.
Like, it is a serious concern with our staff. I mean, it's parents have asked, and so I think we need to put something in there that gives us that. So if we just add the word intentionally...
I think that way it's clear, like, if you're intentionally doing this or you're falsifying, you know, an issue.
Yeah, I mean, either way, I mean, at discretion, because you got money, but
yeah.
I think everybody agrees that that's what you're trying to circumvent.
If a student doesn't wear a mask or, you know, anything that's new with COVID, like they don't wear a mask or they're coughing or sneezing, is there an option just to force them to go remote? Because they're not functioning in that kind of wellness health environment that we're in?
I mean, they would be sent home.
Right. But I mean, their learning only online because they can't function it. I'm just throwing that out.
I think they would do that over DAEP.
From what I've read, that we cannot force them to do that.
To do remote. Okay.
But they could elect, if they get a DAEP placement.
They could go remote and still be county president for the day.
Right.
But if they're not.
But you don't think we can.
If they're endangered to others, then we can.
So, can I get some clarity?
Yes.
At what point with the mask then, if that is over and over and over again?
It falls under what's called persistent misconduct.
Okay.
And that can be a discretionary DAEP placement.
Or suspension.
So for clarity, you can't though, so if, let's say a student is doing this and it's decided you've done this three times, we're going to put you in DAEP. Can that student at that, or parent at that time, elect to just go remote? Or do they have to wait until the 9-week period to change? Or do they have to give the 10 days? Because if it were my child, I would say, well, that, I don't want her sitting up there in DAEP. I would rather her be learning at home.
We did talk about that, and it can't be black and white, because you're going to have situations where at some point in time you might have to shift, and so that's going to be at the discretion of the campus administrative team to make that determination. Because I think if you're just black and white, you're setting yourself up for some trouble. So they have to kind of look into whatever it is. This, you know, we really need to advise this kid to go remote for whatever reason. Or, I mean, if there's just some kind of situation that's special, it's not typical, that would cause them to really sit down and have a conversation about what's the best thing to do. So we did talk about that.
Mm-hmm. But then you'll have kids and they'll, well, I'm just going to call the Stevies and the parents going to give me an DAEP and I can go remote. That's what I want to do anyway.
Yeah. You know what I mean? No, that's not unusual.
I know. I mean, so it's like.
Some of the kids just want remote, but their parents.
If they're a danger for themselves or other, they can't be around other people, not in this situation. So
yeah, you can't be around staff. We've got to protect staff too.
Yeah. No, I'm just. Shaking my head at the.
Everything to think about.
Ultimately, if somebody wants to go remote, I don't think you can force them to come to the building. Period.
Yeah.
Oh no. No, I mean ultimately you can't.
Wow. That's a lot.
I think at such point, if they decided to come back, like let's say it's an athlete, then you're not allowed to participate in any extracurricular activities. And there are things that we would do that.
Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, that is another option. We could say, okay, if you go remote, we're putting your DAP time on the books. Mm-hmm. Whenever you come back, you go to DAP.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If they stay remote, okay, they're removed from all the other kids. Mm-hmm. That's what we're
and that's what
to
you want in the first place.
We're not going to want to do this.
Okay.
Yeah. I was also thinking about like the mask, though. If the students are just rebellious and you know they're going to be, they're going to say, to heck with that, I'm not doing that, you know.
Well,
unless those that they're encouraged to before they get to.
Yeah.
And that's why I put that out there, because there are other schools saying you're not wearing your mask, you're out. And meaning out, meaning remote, forcing them remote.
Yeah.
And not DAP or anything. Just
that.
Okay.
That would be a longer question, because if they're going to jeopardize somebody in a regular classroom, we're going to jeopardize somebody in the DAP.
Right, exactly.
Do you know schools that are doing that? Because I don't think guidance allows us to do that.
I don't think so.
I'll have to go back and review that.
Yeah. And it may be.
Just a bluff.
It may be.
But it could. But
I think it's just
that would be a good conversation to have with parents.
I think it's just a disciplinary suspension.
It's not our rule. That, you know, this is.
Yeah.
Right.
Our overseeing agency saying this is what you have to do if you're going to operate.
Absolutely. And I was just thinking about this.
Suspension grievances to start now.
The code of conduct addendum. We as different situations that we're not used to. We might have one of these every month between now and the time this is over. Right? I mean, all of these unanticipated things, I think. Yeah,
that's really all you can do.
Except for you got to make it.
Yeah, you got to have a baseline. You got to have somewhere to start. But
The penal codes already has this language as a simple assault.
Like
it was just a recommendation to the DEA to put it in the code of conduct.
Gotcha. Oh, we are voting on it. Okay. Yes, okay.
I'll make a motion to accept the to approve the student handbook addendum and the student code of conduct addendum as presented.
With the addition of intentional.
Yeah.
To clarify, just because we say DAP doesn't mean we can't suspend them.
Right. It's just because this is a discretionary placement. We don't have to put in DAP, but
well,
we can.
Let me finish.
Okay.
With the addition of adding intentional to the addendum of student code of conduct. That's it.
Okay, and then Dan's seconding it. Okay. Great. All right. All those in favor? Raise your right hand. Motion carries 4-0. Yes. Yes. All right. So the next, all right, so we've got A and B complete, right? Action item 9A, discussion on possible action on the request for 40% campus hybrid instruction for the 9th through 12th grade students waiver.
We have to have this.
This has to be in
tomorrow, so. And there it is. Tammy, you want to give us your.
Basically, it's just a waiver that gives the district permission to do a hybrid model where we have to have at least 40% of the kiddos out on campus at any one time. And the design that they created does. Their design is 50% at any one time. So that's just some of the language from the plan that they worked out. So basically, I don't know if you've had a chance to look at it. It's kids in one group would come Monday and Tuesday, and I think it's A through K. And then on Wednesday and Thursday, it would be the rest of the alphabet would come. And then that Friday, A through K would come back for that Friday. And then they said to keep the same days just for consistency, and they thought that kids would, it would be easier for them to remember. So that same group would come the next Monday. A through K would be Monday, Tuesday. Then L through Z would be Wednesday, Thursday, and then the second week it would be L through Z that would be on Friday.
Oh, wow.
And then,
so when kids are in on site, they will have their teacher on site. And their plan right now is the teacher will do both on site and remote instruction. So when they plan out their lessons, they're going to plan them out for both. And so the kids know that they have assignments on their remote days that they will be doing. For them, but the same teacher will have all of their kids. They will be a remote and an on-site teacher. They're working really hard in the schedule to have what they call a remote period, where it gives them that time to make sure that they can connect with those kids and have the office hours that they would need to connect with kids, to plan. So they're working the schedule, and that's kind of how they're thinking is right now. Does that make sense to you all?
I think. So your A through K and your L through the rest. That's really one class. But some of them are in the building, some are out.
Correct.
So when the teacher gives the lessons, she's given remote and instructing. Okay.
Is the teacher being videoed? Is the teacher being videoed? It's not going to be streamed, but the teacher's going to be videoed.
That's a possibility, so it's pre-recorded. So they will have some pre-recorded lessons for the kids to view when they're at home working. But they're going to create a week at a glance. So at the beginning, all the kids are going to know what they're going to be doing on site, what it's going to be expected to do in the remote mode. So they'll know when they're working at home what they should be doing, and then they'll also know what they're going to be doing when they go to class.
Here's just a typo on this first sentence, but
makes sense. Jackie?
Splendor High School.
We can fix it.
Yeah.
Wow. That's kind of hard to wrap your head around all that.
Now, sure, I mean, because different teachers are probably going to approach it differently. I mean, that's fine, right?
Yeah. Where are all the assignments? I mean, everything's Canva. You turn everything in on Canva, and there's no deviation from that campus-wide.
I'm sure that when they're on site, they can turn things in. Well, but we're trying to avoid as much paper as possible. But I'm sure that, yeah, we're
but then Canvas, you can use other apps too, right?
Yeah, oh yes.
Yeah.
But just, I guess for the younger kids, how hard that would be to know if you're turning that.
Younger kids are coming back full time.
Here.
So I'm going to try to explain it the best I can because Canvas is new for me too, okay? So when your kid gets their Canvas, they're going to have a dashboard. So let's just say you have a fifth grader, and he's going to have four teachers. His dashboard is going to have all his classes in his dashboard. So if he needs to go and click on math, he's going to be able to click on math, and he's going to have the assignments from that math teacher in his dashboard. So in the spring, if you had a kid that had four teachers, they had four Google Classrooms, right? And so that was harder to manage. But now everything's in Canvas, right? And so now some teachers, you can still put Google Classroom in there, but I'm going to click on Mr. Wells, my math teacher here, and that's what I have to work on this week.
That's your portal. That's your starting portal. Yeah.
So it's all in their dashboard. That mm-hmm. So that's going to make it easier to manage.
Is that, I mean, is that where they're going to turn in their assignments?
Like, and that's where they'll turn in, especially if they're remote, that's where they're turning the majority of the assignments.
So if a fifth grader is on, so once they come back and they've chosen to be back, I mean, they're not going to have a hybrid. They're going to be Monday through Friday on campus. But will they, did we talk, are they still going to have a device that they would be submitting all that through Canvas? Is that what?
Ideally, we started Canvas this last spring because of our pilot for blended learning at Peach Creek at DAP. And so the whole idea was that those classrooms were going to have about 18 devices. They weren't going to be one-to-one, but it was for sure two-to-one. So at any one time when in the classroom, they would have, say, a playlist and for math. And in their playlist, while the teacher might be working with a group of kids, they might be in Canvas working in a program called ST Math Prodigy or something like that that the teacher set up for them. So that's how it can look like in the classroom. You know, we're not going to be able to do it that way until we get some more devices in, because right now we're going to just make sure the kids that are remote have a device. And so that might limit us in the classrooms on site, but we know that.
Yeah, because every high school kid is going to need, they're either going to be a hybrid or fully remote, so every high school kid's going to need a device.
They're our priority. So we are asking kids that have a device at home to use their device, and then if they don't, we're going to assign one.
I was just thinking in the event of a shutdown or a prolonged shutdown, you know,
that's why we ordered extra devices.
Right. I mean, making sure we have the devices there. And then is it a good idea that they're working on the Canvas every day?
That's kind of where I was going, is if they, even if they are sitting in class.
That's what we're trying to do, but it's going to be a little challenging at first just because of our the limits on the devices that we have. So like, let's just, so pre-KK1 right now, pretty much, they're going to start out with no devices because they're all going to be given to our second graders and up who are remote, you know, they're all remote. But then as second and third come back, they're going to turn in the devices that they were given. And so then we're going to, you know, disperse those with some equity across the grade level. So we might be able to put 5 in each pre-K class.
Mm-hmm.
5, just
that
depending
makes sense.
On what the number is at each campus. So we're just going to have to look at it. Mm-hmm. But eventually, we'll be one-to-one, and then they'll get their device just like a textbook at the beginning of the year, and they'll turn it in at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And then that way, anytime we're prepared for anything, and then that way, they can use Canvas in the way that it's really meant with all the different apps and programs that you can upload.
Do we have enough cameras and stuff like that?
Enough
cameras?
For videoing.
So at Timberlake's, they have these screens, right?
They have
the smart screen, and they can use that, right?
No, there's no camera. I don't think the screens have
cameras. They're not equipped with cameras.
Right now, they can use their phone or they can use their Chromebook to record, and then they can upload it.
That's a good question, though.
The question is no, we do not have that.
The ideal situation would be where a teacher could go up and teach a lesson and that thing be
tracking. That's what I'm thinking.
They have recorded, streamed, everything all at once.
They have those.
And then convert it into a lesson plan for later.
A lot of zeros.
Yeah, a lot of zeros. Yeah.
What you've taught for ever lesson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you wouldn't have to really change.
Mm-hmm. Everybody complains about lesson plans. It's a living document. You do it one time right, then you tweak it as you go. It's
forever. I started a business. I just decided. So you know how when we went to the, you can rent those lime sticks or birds, whatever. I'm going to do a mobile camera. This is where you just rent them out for the week. That's what needs to happen, because it's like everybody's going to buy all this stuff, and then once you have it all done.
Well, I mean, that would save. Some of the teachers, I'd imagine, are stressing for doing.
Nah,
I
would say every single teacher and every single administrator is stressing.
I'm concerned with that a lot, that the burnout, because that's a lot. I know you know because you live it, but
it's a real thing.
Is that because they're sorry if I missed that. Are they duplicating their efforts? Because if let's go back to the high school for a second. Honors on campus on Monday, and teacher is teaching to honor. If she is videoing that while she's teaching, that could go to student. So Sydney,
that same video, whether it's not streamed maybe, but it could be going to Sydney and Sydney will be seeing that. But if not, then are we saying teacher at 6 p.m. is going to be checking on Sydney to make sure she's done her work? Is that, so is it a duplication of effort? Is that where y'all are going?
Mine is like, if you're interactive with the class, right, and you're just recording that lesson, you just send it out to asynchronous, right, at the end of the day.
But you still have to have their interaction piece.
I think that they'll
be asynchronous, there's no interaction.
No, for the attendance.
They have to have the engagement part.
Measures that you gotta do, so they don't have to go back in.
Yeah, so I'm thinking they're going to have those two remote, but let's just go with two and two, right? Those 2 days are going to be well planned out. The kids are going to know what to do. The big thing is if it's on site, you're in a classroom, and they do record it, if there's a student absent, that would be, you know, to upload it, then mm-hmm. they have access to that.
Yeah.
But they also can just upload, just like when a kid's absent, how does the teacher give them the work? So they could upload the work in there that they missed that day.
And remember, we are held harmless for attendance for the first semester.
Yes, yeah, we're stuck.
Oh, I didn't know that.
We learn a lot from teachers who are actually engaged in the work.
That's what I figured. The teachers are going to...
They're going to poke holes in it or come up.
Contract LPO.
Okay. What if we have a teacher who gets sick? Is the sub, I mean, we're, or right. I guess the team will come forward and have to help.
Comes together to help the sub.
But we'd have to get the sub in there, and it might be hard to find 12 subs that are willing to.
We need 6 bus drivers right now.
Ryan and I talked
about. We're down 6 bus drivers? Because they're sick, or because we're down 6 bus drivers?
We're just down 6 bus drivers.
Yeah.
Wow.
So those kinds of things are going to happen.
They're going to happen. Yeah. We're just going to have to.
Yeah.
We're going to do a lot of troubleshooting, I think, the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's why we did the schedule.
So we have to just continue to get feedback. Yeah.
Do teachers do, I think that's not teacher, but would a bus driver get unemployment if they chose not to come back to work? I mean.
If they chose not to come back?
Yeah, if they choose not, because that's typically if you get terminated, but if they chose not to come back because of COVID, would they get unemployment?
No. Jackie, I cannot answer that question right now because I don't know. The Workforce Commission is all over the place.
I assume so. I just wondered why. Like, some of these people need to.
Cases in our favor and just lose.
Yeah, Workforce
Commission.
If without an album on the chart, it's never known. It's
crap. Who?
They cleaned up in the spring and the summer.
Because it's not their money.
Yes, exactly. And you think that they're going to approve, they don't.
Bus drivers, if you quit voluntarily.
But if you quit voluntarily because you're concerned about COVID.
This district's policy, right?
I can tell you, legally speaking, fear of COVID is not a reason to not come to work.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
I mean, thank you.
Because that's legally right doesn't mean they won't side with me on that.
But that also works for teachers too.
100%. I mean,
so you know, if you're afraid, we don't.
Yeah. We've had at this point only had two resignations.
Two resignations because of COVID.
Teacher?
Mm-hmm. Teacher
resignations.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what's important about having protocols that say that we're going to make kids work.
Yeah.
And we're doing weekly screenings, and we are not, but parents are providing weekly.
That's why I'm talking to all day.
They're going 100% back?
They went against
everything. You can come to class or withdraw.
Yeah, because they can transfer to other.
Is there a transfer thing too with COVID?
So if your district,
hang on. I want to hear both of these conversations, but I want to come back to this. Say it again.
I think it's a terrible. What Tarkington is doing is they are handing over these students, and they will never see them back.
Because now they have an option. So that's where,
whatever all these different, that's already advertising on every website and every commercial that you see now, they're not coming back to Tarkington.
But are you saying they can transfer to another district too?
I think it says that if you, what is the exact language say on that? I'd have to go back and look at it. There is some protection for parents if their school does not offer a remote option. But I don't know exactly what that
Because we might be started, we may see an influx if Tarkington's doing that and they have an option, you know, that there's not a remote lesson, I mean, option, could they go to another district?
I think so, I think that is the...
Huh?
We don't, yeah, we're a closed district.
Well, but I get that, but if COVID is saying, if there is some sort of...
I think, yeah.
But I don't know, I have to go back and look.
I don't know, because as long as they stay, like, a lot of them are going to K-12. K-12's a public school, that's an online public school. That's the one that's been advertising.
They pay for that.
Some people call it TOPS. No.
Oh, they don't?
It's public school. So they can do it online and go through that, and there has to be an engagement. I mean, it's not an easy piece of cake thing.
But it's free.
And they can also come back. Well, it's run through Region 12. Is it Region 12, I think? It's like the virtual school network.
I got you.
So they can come back. In high school, I'm thinking, they can come back, and those credits are legit. We would take, as a public school, would take those credits. So they can sit out, work online, and do that, and then come back and bring their credits.
I think that helps answer my question, because I'm thinking there are going to be, would be parents who are going to say, I want my child to stay home, and they don't offer that. So if there were like a district-to-district transfer allowable because of COVID, but I think no, instead they could use that option.
Here's why I'm saying they're screwing up. The revenue goes with the kids.
Yeah, so you'd lose it.
So when they go next year to set their budget and 20% of their kids decided they wanted online school?
Yeah.
Guess what?
After the first 12 weeks, because that's when they start doing, you know. Doing it for real.
They're walking into the hands of all this. To me, that's kind of like that people are trying to use this as an opportunity to push this stuff.
So we received our first, we can talk about that, but we received our first public information request on from Tea Party on homeschool letters that we're issuing. So that's a real deal. Homeschooling thing is the real competition.
Yeah, and micro schools. I've heard quite a few people doing that. The small groups, so it's not mass.
All we can do is,
I think we're doing the right thing. We're trying to support
everybody.
What parents want, what's that, you know.
Okay.
Those that aren't, I'm like, I don't
know. I'll make the motion. We finish discussion, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll make the motion to approve the request for 40% campus hybrid instruction for 9th through 12th grade students waiver as presented.
I'll second.
Okay. All those in favor, raise your right hand. Okay. Motion carries 4-0. Were you afraid that wasn't going to pass?
You know something, and that this is just sidebar. When Honor was so upset today, I had to, you know, she was upset because she felt like I didn't trust her to make the decision, and I had to tell her, you get 4 years. You get one high school career. That's it. You don't get to go back to high school. You might be able to work from home someday. You can take college classes remote, but you only get this one time. Don't blow it. Don't decide not to go because of whatever. And I think that's what I don't know if parents, and maybe that's just me, right? But it breaks my heart for these kids. They only get this once.
Okay.
And that's what I had to tell Honor. She may not be thinking that, but that's why God gave her to me, to be able to be her voice when she's not thinking of those things, right? And so it just breaks my heart that these kids are, they only have this one shot. This is it. Anyway, that's just sidebar.
Okay. So next, we're moving on to the agenda review for August 17th. Is there anything? I mean, I'm probably going to have to go in about 15 minutes.
I was planning to leave by 7.
Yeah,
can we take things out of order? Is there anything that you'd really like for us to know? Is that okay to?
I would like to make sure the tax, register tax rate, and it's, we've just got documentation on that, but our maximum compress rate is now set by TEA. We don't have a say in that. So we are being compressed. Our tax rate last year's tax rate was $1.40 $49.84. This year's will be $1.40.5.
We were only supposed to go to $1.46.
Correct. But now they got what the, wow. the well, they set your maximum.
Which, that's rate. Total? That's
total.
So, yeah, because we are at 160.
We still have our 43 cents on INS side, but our tax rate for M&O will be 97.51, basically 97 and a half cents.
And so, sorry, say that again. M&O is 97.51, and then INS is 40.
M&O is, INS is 43.
Because the maximum can be a dollar, 140.
Now, the total is 140.5 cents.
Yeah, that's right.
Last year's M&O was $1.684, and like I said, this year is 97.5 cents.
How can the state?
They've swore that it's whole harmless, that we'll, through the formula we won't lose any funding.
So in
our template, that's what it's showing.
Yeah, it shouldn't have extra funding.
It's basically part of their.
What they provided,
their overall tax reform work
by increasing the basic ADA.
Yeah,
and that was what they did.
Offset the tax.
They bought down.
Mm-hmm.
They still shifted to the taxpayer though.
Yeah.
Basically, it was $129 a kid of state revenue.
And we're not even in a legislative session. We're not in a legislative session. We're looking at an $11 billion shortfall.
Hey, you know, hear what was said about tax revenue in July, though.
What?
This July's tax revenue outpaced last July's tax revenue.
I think it's because of Amazon, right?
Yep. That's exactly what it says.
Because of what?
Sean Finell.
Oh.
The hell? Oh, my family helped out.
Oh. Every day.
Kroger household.
Every day.
Oh, because the tax is reported where you purchase it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Used to not be that way, right? Used to be if you bought like out of state.
Correct.
Yeah.
You didn't buy something.
Still that way, right?
Depends. But I think it depends on what state it's coming from and where it's going.
For the zip code, right?
Depend that though. Like, I mean, realistically, it kind of helps. Not really. It's not.
Okay. So that part we need to. Is that a workshop prior?
That's just a heads up. It is what it is. There's nothing we can do about it. I didn't want y'all to look through the newspaper posting.
There's a public hearing prior. So is that what happens at the public hearing?
Just compressed, like they did.
Compressed 50 years ago. They compressed 50.
No, I was just wondering about. So this is going to be in the.
We're always been on the best side.
The meeting prior.
Plus we get our TRE pennies on top of it.
So is this
our maximum compress rate was? 83.68 plus our tier pennies on top of that, which was 13.83.
So the gold and silver pennies,
they're still.
Yeah, I thought that when, because those do expire at some point, right? Are they? No. What, I mean, you level out, right?
I thought they were going to get rid of them. And the reforms.
So I had a quick question. Every school district will be at this new rate?
No.
Your percentage, yes.
I'm embarrassed.
Okay.
We have to submit, Dr. Burke has to submit the property tax study.
I would love a review.
As soon as he punched the green button, there's a box down there that
tells you what your.
I mean, not next week.
I got you.
I would,
so
I bet Alan would too.
On the formula itself.
At some point, sometime, a review of how the new state funding, like just all of that.
If
I'd like it.
Copper, gold, and silver,
yeah. Because it's here, but it's not made it like further down to black memory. Maybe it's here and it's not made it back here. I have a hard time with stuff like that. Someone who could break it down for like really like 3-year-olds?
Well, like me. The comptroller's office, I believe, has a school funding 101 that's fairly, if they update.
Yeah, that's what I'm
That's a good problem.
Yes, I think, I would love something. I just to solidify it. I mean, if not next week, please, no.
Yeah, not next week.
We'll wait until it's Tassitasma.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we do have a closed session item that's on there for the assistant superintendent.
Oh, okay.
So,
is that the one we're are we voting on? You're going to bring it forward to us?
Yeah, forward, okay. So that's why we have possible vote action. But remember, I'll have to do that and let them meet the board. And
now, I was going to ask you something
that is, right, Katie?
About with abandonment, contract abandonment. Is that considered that, the two who left after? Do we have to consider something like that?
Yeah, I just during this time, I just don't want to hold people to that.
No, I just didn't know if it was something that we legally have to look like vote on.
I don't think so.
No, we just released.
That, so just released. They're just released from the contract?
I mean, if they
and if they apply somewhere else, they go somewhere else.
No, I get it.
That just comes down to the fact that you guys basically hire and fire one guy.
Right. Okay. I've looked at other boards and I've seen it on there.
Yeah.
So I didn't, I'm just asking that if it was something we had to vote on.
I mean, if we wanted to be contentious, we'd take it to you, but at this point.
Okay. If they're really concerned, and if they're really not concerned, we don't want them here anyway.
Yeah.
So if,
no,
you know.
I totally understand. I was just asking that question. Just. Mm-hmm. Yes.
COVID update, I'm sure we'll have more updates for you. Monthly report. I don't know what Tammy's going to present on the curriculum management plan, probably just the models, I would imagine.
Yes, that's the plan.
Which is the teaching and learning models.
What's the backpack donations?
Lots of donations, textbook inventory waiver, pretty simple.
What's the backpack donations?
It's a company that is giving us like, I think, 100 of them, and they're like valued at $50 each. So
That's nice.
Because typically I donate it to every school. I take up to every school typically, but I'm thinking, well, if somebody's doing that already, then.
Yeah, I can't remember who it was.
I don't know if this, what is our rule on donations? We have to accept them up to.
It's you have to approve it at $1,000.
Yeah. Is it the one from, I haven't told them. I think it's going to need to go on there possibly, is the Montgomery County Bar Association.
Yeah, if they.
Adam did text me and said that they're going to give us $3,000 for Chromebooks.
So, nice.
I mean, it's.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
So he did work with them on that.
Yeah, that's nice.
So I hadn't told you, I forgot to tell you, okay, so we need to add that.
Oh, Lord.
So those are approval of donations. That's always nice and easy.
It could be. What's that?
Right?
It should be.
The donations, those are happy things.
Then you have to, the board has to approve the asynchronous model and the synchronous learning model. We have to fill out those. Those are due. What was that due, Tammy?
One's due the first day of school, and the other one's not due until October, but we still have to submit like a letter of intent and all that stuff.
Yeah. And keep in mind that the first day of school is the night of the meeting, so we have to
get
sent when we get everything together.
But I know Tammy has gone through templates, like our plan is, if it's not approved, I don't know what else we could have done together. Yeah. By TV.
That's going to be a rough day for y'all. First day of school, and I know. Well, I recognize that, but
that's it.
But still, you know, stuff happens.
We're speaking Russian. We'll be
fine. Exactly. Don't say.
And then joint election agreement. That's we do that once a year anyway.
Yeah, it's just so, okay.
And then you'll have the two actions that y'all discussed today.
Where are board packets due? They start August, right? Or is it September? Board
the
packets.
The election.
Yeah. For the November, yeah.
August 18th.
Yeah, okay.
You can't run for two seats.
No. I'm not. I just now thought about it. I was like, when are those?
It's on there. It's the Splendora election.
Oh.
See that? It's possible that we're going to add this bulk Chromebook purchase.
Oh, did you find more information about it?
We finally got that. We've got one pager. I think it's going out or going to go out.
Yeah, we're in the process of making it. Like for y'all, so I'll probably send it to you tomorrow.
Okay. And there's like pricing. I found out the price.
1,350 devices. The total cost of a device from the state is $288. 1,350 of them, they'll split the cost with us 50-50. So that's $153,000 and change for that. Then we can request that state pricing on the remaining documents that we turned or devices that we turned in, which is $850. To buy that $288 piece,
which we do.
Okay.
And that would, if we did that, that would get us to a one-to-one student ratio in devices, which, especially in this world, would make life lots easier.
It would be how much? And what kind of delivery?
They have not got that to us.
How is Magnolia, they were selling at, what, $254?
I don't know, but I don't know how they, that's a gift of public funds, how they're doing that and making that legal, I don't know. There has to be some sort of...
Selling them at their cost?
I don't. You're using, that's state leverage. They're not paying sales tax on them. You know, maybe, I don't know what's it.
Maybe an exception.
So, what was our anticipated...
They need to use the before it's over.
Okay, what was our anticipated cost?
Are you turning your data over to somebody?
We had originally thought the cost would be around $495,000.
We're going to have $497,000.
Is that in the meeting, I guess?
500 hotspots with unlimited coverage for a year.
Well, you don't need to have no more action.
At the end, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they can just
sign
discussion.
Up. Okay. They can sign off for the time and all that, so they're good. Yeah. Okay.
So we're actually going to be able to get more.
Well, I guess to adjourn, there's a motion, but.
Yeah,
you got to
do it.
Yeah. No matter, but.
I thought that was even something that...
Well, I thought so too. I was hoping he talked about it. Did he not get to that?
I don't think we can. Yeah, he never did.
But I can reach out to him specifically and ask him.
That might be, just to know, because we never had...
Well, that's what we if we leave, you can't even do the motion to adjourn because there's not a quorum.
There's not a quorum.
So really, you're just going to have to close it out.
Yeah. Right, that's right.
Well, that's what I thought. Yeah, I was hoping that he would get to it.
Because he kind of mentioned that a little, unanimous consent, but he didn't. Yeah.
I'll specifically ask.
Because it's, yeah.
So, what's the.
Ellen will have some more questions.
What?
Yeah, well, I have to go. So I
what is Tasby policy 115?
You might be here for another hour, right?
An
hour and a half?
Multiple policies that
have to be. I don't know what it is, the 115 is. You know what?
Multiple.
I'm glad you're my friend.
The majority of this policy 115 update, Jackie, is Title IX.
Title IX.
There's lots of changes to Title IX.
Okay.
So it'll be
in
your packet.
Yeah.
Okay. Title IX. Means so we're finally going to be equal?
Yeah. The ASVAB test.
And
the ASVAB test is.
To get there.
There is an ASVAB waiver.
But what is the ASVAB test? Why is that escaping me?
It's the it's a career test.
It's a career test.
And so we're saying we
that
don't want to
the military uses, but we can always, anyone can use
it's
it. But.
But we're saying we don't want to participate.
But it's, yeah.
Well, that's kind of like the PSAT. It's still it's national merit, but they use the PSAT. So why would we not want to participate, though?
The ASVAB.
Why would we not want to participate in that?
It's on there.
9H.
Because I thought Troy came and talked to you about it.
Because it's probably one more test they have to sit close.
Right.
It's another, and if you're touching items and people are coming and breathing on you while they give the test.
Okay.
Yeah.
So are y'all doing that as well?
I think we're still having that. But it's okay because you can do it. You can pick it up the next semester.
Okay.
So it's not going to stop anybody from doing it.
Well, this is 2020-21 school year. It's the whole school year. So we wouldn't do it either semester.
No, you can leave it on there if they don't want to do it.
Because I think it's a waiver. So if they want to do it, they still can, but they don't want to do it. Because it's not, it's not mandated that I know, but it is. The one thing that it can help with is that it's for the college and career CCMR. Is it can
college
you? Yeah, because you can use different things to show
just,
that your kids are going to the military.
It was one of those things that Troy said, we can apply for this, do we want to add it, just put it on there, and then we don't have to.
I just like to know what more, like what's the pros and cons? I don't know.
We'll have Troy.
Yeah, and he may know more. Maybe they changed the law because it never.
Right. Right. Thank you.
That's a little.
No, that was me, but I was talking about.
Okay. All right. So I'm heading out. Cause
was there any other discussion?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
No, I just wanted to let you know that we do have district recognition. Is the
oh, yes.
Oh, okay.
As a group, we want to have people come. We have like five companies to recognize.
Do we have five?
Yes.
It's in the health
department.
If they want to come, I say invite them if they want to come, and if they don't, they don't.
I mean, we're keeping socially distant. They, yeah.
It's in the department.
And we can always go to the cafeteria.
And make sure you read.
And this is, so they've already been awarded this through TASB, or this is our nomination?
Yeah.
We submitted them.
We have about as good as we can right now.
Or Tuesday. And so this is just us saying.
That we've submitted it. So this is our internal recognition that we've nominated or submitted this, but we don't have the formal background.
The report is out of my.
That we do every year and then present them with a plaque.
Yeah, we give a little.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. I just want to make sure.
That's fine.
For, if we have too many, I see other districts have changed their plans based on too many kids wanting.
We don't know yet.
On-site instruction. But y'all don't have one. Yeah.
I can guarantee you it's going to change by tomorrow. And after, I don't know, it must have gotten announced today about the A through K. Did it, yeah.
Campuses are calling.
It'll change tomorrow.
4,200 to 1,200 less.
The percentages?
About 65-35. And it's varying by campus, so it's hard to. Like Greenleaf actually has more, I think they have more remote, right?
If they have like 50-50.
Timberlake has more remote right now.
Really?
Has what?
More remote.
Get them in that nice new school.
So who still needs to see? You've seen it.
I've seen it.
I'd like to.
But
I'm pretty much booked up for the next couple of weeks.
No. Oh, okay, that's cool.
It's good, because it kind of takes it from.
They're actually staying in the Friday night, they're actually doing a stay.
Yeah, that first line has got very bad.
Giving them.
Oh, that's cool.
I'm coming, I'm hopefully going to be able to come to Rick's thing. Is it, it goes till 4?
That's Katie.
Katie, would you think, yeah, I know it starts at.
4-ish, I mean, it's just a kind of go.
Yeah. I'm just, because I just don't know about work. But I really want to come, so I'm going to aim to come. I already told them I'm leaving early, so.
I don't know if this is something that might issue, but Dr. Burke is planning to go to the board meeting at Royal.
Oh, wow.
Do you want to go see it?
Oh, wow. I may, so I can always bring him a card if I need to, yeah.
Or he can sign his name, and we'll make sure it's.
Okay, I just want it.
I know. He made me cry today, so I'm like, oh, gosh.
Rick did?
Rick, yeah.
I really.
He makes you cry because you're missing. He makes you cry with frustration.
That's true.
Yes, ma'am. I'm not going to sign this one because I think you just need to take this for me, Joe, since this discussion, and then, you know, it was tabled, so I'm not going to sign this one.
Oh, no, don't sign that one.
Okay.
Really, yeah, I can wait. That's why I'm there for.
This is July.
But I just don't know.
Yeah, so like this.
Oh, that one's supposed to be in there.
If I can.
Yeah, because that needs to come out, and then, yeah, and then I just changed instead of a bow.
Oh, yeah, no, that wouldn't even.
Okay, good. Okay, so is the rest of it supposed to be here?
It should be.
July 30, July 20. This is the 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to do it after.
Okay.
I don't even, we haven't even given keys.
Because then they've got to spray everything down after you leave. That's what I keep thinking. I want to make a special trip.
Well, basically, still active construction.
Yeah. We haven't given, they haven't given us a building. So.
Oh, it's not been turned yet, not been turned over yet. Okay, I'm going.
Okay.
I'm so sorry, you guys.
No, you're fine.
It's just.
Bye, thank you, Suzanne.
I mean, I don't, just because.
I'm just standing up so.
There's no way I'm done.
Stop recording, Jack.
Should I stop recording?
Apparently, my